So on this day when many are giving thanks for their mothers, I think it's opportune for us to reflect again on the place of the family in God's purposes. And we've done that in speaking to the children. We've given thanks for 50 years of marriage with John and Barbara. But we need to be realistic about the world in which we live. We can simply think that the world is ticking on as we've always known it. Things are not changing as they have been, so they ever will be. And it's easy for us to think, well, this is the way it is. It's always going to be like this. Or we can take the opposite reaction when we see things changing around us and we say, oh, well, that's the way things are going. We've got to follow the trend. We have got to go with it. Now, in the 50 years that John and Barbara have been married, there have been huge changes in our social practices as a nation, and sadly that is reflected in the church as well, and there are maybe not the same principles that there were half a century ago, and that has to challenge us as Christians, because as Christians we are to set an example in the world in which we live. We are not to, as it were, stand out and be awkward simply for the sake of being awkward, but we do have to maintain the principles that God has laid down. And for that reason this morning, I want us to go back to this passage in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, and not one of the familiar scenes where we see him as a preacher and a worker of miracles, but where we see him as a child, probably beginning to move on in his life from simple childhood to a place where he takes responsibility as a man within the culture. So looking at this passage from Luke 2, I want us to begin by looking at a family under God. The Authorized Version in Psalm 68 says, God settles the solitary in families. And in the ESV it says, God settles the solitary in a home. And when we think of home, when we think of families, it is easy for us simply to focus on what we have always known. But the facts are, friends, the families that many of you would have been born into, the type of family that I was born into, is not as it is today with many people in our country. Even those who are white Anglo-Saxons, things are completely different from what they were 50 years ago. But the facts are that we are not simply a nation made up of white Anglo-Saxons today. We have people having come from many different cultures. They are now contributing to our culture, and their approach to family life is quite different. And there will be a strong tribal emphasis, where it is not simply what we describe as the nuclear family, or sadly, it's not simply the dysfunctional family, but it is a whole tribe who relate to each other. It was into that sort of culture that the Lord Jesus Christ was born, a tribal setting. So we read in verse 41 of Luke 2, now his parents went up to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the custom. As I say, we have a dream of a nuclear family. Mum, Dad, 2.4 children. Well, when I looked at the statistics this week, apparently 2.4 children has been reduced to 1.9. Now, I've never seen a family with 2.4, and I've never seen a family with 1.9, but those are the statistics. So the facts are, the numbers of children within recognised families is continuing to drop. But as I say, Jesus didn't live in a nuclear family. We are told here about his parents. Well, those of you who know the story of the Lord Jesus Christ will know that Joseph was not the father of Jesus. In effect, he was the adoptive father. His father was the Holy Spirit, and he was conceived in Mary. So Joseph was not the father, and therefore they were not a neat traditional family as we would know them. And let's be honest, Joseph, when he heard that his fiancée was pregnant, was troubled by it, as any man would be. And he struggled with his experience in life. And there are many of us struggle with our experiences in life. So it would seem that socially, Jesus was born into a family that had difficulties. But Jesus also lived in an occupied country, a country where the enemy, Rome, had come in and had taken power. But even from the time of his birth, Jesus' life was under threat. And the first couple of years of his life were spent in exile. We're told that they had to flee to Egypt, and he there lived, we would say today, as an asylum seeker. And he knew the struggles of living outside of his own culture. He himself never married. And we are told in John's Gospel that he had no formal education. Not exactly your white, middle-class, nuclear family, was it? A family with problems. And yet, it was a family under God. Some people would say that he was born on the wrong side of the tracks. He didn't have all the privileges that the world of his day was able to give to him. But friends, he had God, and he lived in a setting in which God had placed him. And that's important for all of us to understand. Today, we are where God wants us to be. God has not lost control in this world. We may not understand what he's doing, but he is still in control. And with all of his problems, Jesus was in the place where God wanted him. Now, as Christians, we rejoice in every stable family. We rejoice in every marriage that has stood the test of time. But we also rejoice in the family relationship within the church, because some of us do not have the gift of marriage. Some of us have known the problems relating to broken marriages and the issues that are so prevalent in our day and age. But we are together as a family in the church. We are here to bear one another's burdens. So if you are knowing the pain that comes from a broken marriage or a broken home, then we as a church show our love and our concern, and we are to reach out and to accept those who suffer this sort of experience in so many experience in so many lives today. They are knowing this. We have to live and to witness in a world where things are not neat and tidy, where the world does not reach our standards, where it certainly does not reach God's standard. So, although this family was not a neat package, they were a family under God. They were prepared to live and to obey, as I was saying to the children this morning, to obey the word of God, to obey the commandments of God. And this is what we see in verse 41. They went up to the Passover, because that is what the Old Testament taught them. And in verses 43 to 45, we see the realities of family life, that even though they were serving God by going up to Jerusalem, not everything went according to plan. So they set off, and they've probably travelled a day's journey, and they are coming together now at the end of the day for a family meal. And Mary says to Joseph, well, where's Jesus? Oh, he's with you, isn't he? No, I thought he was with you. And they would have all been milling around. It's a bit like a church picnic, isn't it, or a church outing. When we go out together, we don't stay together in family groups, but the ladies will often walk together for a while and talk about things. The men will get together and they'll talk about things, and then you get this interaction. And that's exactly what was happening here. And then as a result, they find that today we would describe them as parents who had neglected their children. You know, if this story had been written in the 21st century, before Mary and Joseph had got back to Jerusalem, they'd have been arrested, wouldn't they, for child neglect. How could you leave your children like that? But let's get real. We live in a world that is not neatly packaged. The fall has caused many, many problems. But Mary and Joseph say, we've made a mistake. We have got to put this right. And that might be you this morning. You may be conscious on a day like this of where things have gone wrong. Do not give up. Don't condemn yourself. Don't feel that you've blown it. Mary and Joseph went back, and they were not rejected. God had not turned them aside. He called them, and even with their failures, he was going to use them. Friends, the Christian message is for those who accept that they don't get it right. It is for those who have tried to make a good start and yet have failed. Mary and Joseph had to face these facts, and we are told that they went back. Verse 45, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him, and after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers and listening to them and asking them questions. All who heard him were amazed at his understanding. It's never too late to start again. It's never too late to retrace our steps to that place where it went wrong. Friends, in effect, this is applied repentance. This is active repentance. So often we treat repentance as if it was something that goes on in our heads. That isn't the last element of repentance. In effect, that is the first step in repentance. We come to understand we have made a mistake. They realized they'd made a mistake, and they were ready to go back. Go back where? Go back to that place where they were able to reestablish their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you this morning, where is Christ in your life? Where is it that you were last conscious of the presence of Christ? Friends, if we know that we have drifted from the path, if we know that other things have become important, then we have to go back. You, like Mary and Joseph, may have been very disciplined in your former religion, never missed a service, never missed communion, but you've allowed your relationship with Christ to be damaged. You're not able to say, I love the Lord, in the same way that you once said it. Is your family, like Mary and Joseph's, damaged? Have you hit the buffers in your own experience? Do you feel as though you have tried hard, and like a train that comes into a station, there's nowhere for you to continue going? Many of the London stations, once you get into them, That is the end of the road. And perhaps you feel a bit like that. Friends, let's not pretend that we don't face problems. We all face them. But we are to bear one another's burdens. There's no need for us to be crushed by the problems. As a church, we need to be alert to families and individuals who need care and attention. But as individuals, we need to be able to turn to other members of the family and say, I need help in this situation. And you should not fear condemnation. No condemnation, now I dread, we've just sung. And that is how we are to respond to people who know that they have made mistakes in their lives. So we see here a family under God. Secondly, I want to show you an individual under God. And we've got Mary and Joseph, and they come back, and they speak to Jesus, and they're amazed by what's going on. Mary says to Jesus in verse 49, or he replies to her question in verse 49, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? Now, in some translations it will say, did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? And as I looked this up, I was a little confused. Is it house? Is it business? And one Bible explained it in this way. The Greek is simply in the, and there's like brackets, of my Father. There's no actual noun that is put in there. And what Jesus is saying is, in effect, didn't you know that I must be doing the things that my Father wants me to do? And sadly, this applies to many Christians. They're in a situation like Jesus was here. Jesus had begun to make decisions in his life, and he realized that he had a relationship with God. Now, have you got a relationship with God? It's important. I've spoken about the church, but you as an individual have to have a relationship with God. You need to know that Jesus has died for you. You need to know that you need a Savior. You need to know that if you call upon the Lord, then he is willing to forgive all who confess their sins and to cry unto him. Jesus was at this point where it was him and God. And that is where the Christian life begins, me and God. But just as every child comes into the world as an individual, but immediately comes into a family, so we come into the Christian family as individuals. The Lord Jesus Christ is here before God. But God has placed us as social beings in the family, in the world, in the church. And as a young man, the Lord Jesus Christ had a relationship with God. Friends, have you got a relationship with God? Irrespective of other people around you, do you know that you have peace with God? Jesus is giving us the example that we are to follow. We are to have a relationship with God ourselves. So we've seen this family under God. We have seen this individual under God. But thirdly, I want to show you a family growing in God. They didn't stop here. They didn't stop with their mistakes. They didn't stop with a family argument where Mary and Joseph said, well, it's all well and good you thinking that, but we are responsible for you. No, they moved on. And I want to take those of you who know your Bibles back to the Old Testament, to Exodus chapter 2, to another man His name was Moses. He knew that he had a relationship with God. He knew that God had chosen him for a special work. But at a certain time in his life, he said, I am going to do God's will. And he went out to liberate God's people, and he actually killed an Egyptian. What did Moses do? He rushed ahead of God. He tried to do God's work in his own time. And as a result, for 40 years, he in effect lived under the judgment of God. He lived not able to do anything for God. But that's not what we see in the Lord Jesus Christ here. He's got his relationship with God the Father. He has got his relationship with Mary and Joseph, his parents. And we read in verse 51, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. The Lord Jesus Christ became a man, and he actually submitted to human authority. He could have said, I understand these religious leaders, I'm going to stay with them. But he said, no, I am going to live under the authority of the family that God has placed me in. And young people this morning, I want you to see the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to you in this situation. God has designed the family for our good. It may be far from perfect, and many of us grew up in families that were far from perfect, but God calls us to obedience within the family. Mary and Joseph let Jesus down, but he went back and he was obedient to them. Young people, you have a responsibility to be obedient to your parents, to live in relationship with God, and even though things may be tough within your family, within your school, you are to live there for the Lord Jesus Christ. Young parents, I thank God every time I come here and I see the number of children that we have running around these days. It's absolutely terrific. But young parents, you have an important responsibility. God has given you children to bring up within the faith. Now, over the years, particularly in Papua New Guinea, Linda and I were asked to do classes on parenting. And from broad strokes, I would say to parents, a child from 0 to 10, and remember these are broad strokes, I'm not tying it down neatly, we as parents need to tell our children what to do. We need to put them on the right path. And then again a broad stroke, 11 to 18, as they're moving on, the Lord Jesus Christ here was 12. We are to be helping our children to reason. 0 to 10, we've told them, this is what God's word teaches you to do. 11 to 18, help them to work through, to make their own decisions, so that when they get to adulthood, they are not simply sent out into the world, get on with it. No, but there has been that reasoning and that development of responsibility. This family went back to their home and they lived with the responsibilities that God had given them. Each of us is a citizen of our nation. We have an obligation to laws and to practices. Where those conflict with the scriptures, we are not simply to disobey them, but we are to give reasoned answers for our opposition. And if we are Christians, we're all part of the church. All Christians have a responsibility to have a relationship with God the Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ, the head of the church, But we also have a responsibility to have an obligation on a horizontal level within the church and to be committed to the work and to the ministry of the church. The Lord Jesus Christ, Mary and Joseph were a family growing in God until the point where he left home and he took up his responsibility. Mary, as a mother, had many things to learn. We read in verse 51, his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And as you go through the Gospels, so you have these wonderful insights into the trials that Mary had as a mother, culminating in the cross as she saw her son hanging there. We read verse 52, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favour with God and man. A very simple statement, and yet a very profound statement. We're given no details of what happened during this time of growth, because we don't need them, and we don't need to have them. But the facts are that from the age of 12 to the age of 30, Jesus grew in an imperceptible way. And all of us are growing. The oldest of us in this congregation this morning is changing. How is that growth going on? Is it drawing us nearer to God, or is it driving us further away from God? The only person who doesn't grow is the person who is sick, who has some sort of problem within their body. But the facts are, friends, that as Christians, we too can live stunted lives. There can be a problem in our lives because we are not living and conforming to the principles of God's word for growth. We need to give careful attention to this. In a few moments, we will come to the Lord's table and we will remind ourselves of those serious words that the Lord Jesus Christ wrote through Paul. Let a person examine himself and then so eat and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body and eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. Friends, are we experiencing stunted growth as a church? Are you as an individual experiencing stunted growth because you are not prepared to live according to the principles of God's word? Because you are not prepared, first of all, to trust the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you, and then avail yourself of the Holy Spirit to help you to grow. You don't need to be in the public spotlight. Like our Lord Jesus Christ, you may live a hidden life, but the work goes on. Friends, we don't live in a perfect world. We are not perfect as individuals. We are not a perfect church, but we have a perfect God, and we have a Saviour who calls us to come to him with our shortcomings, with our sins, and to ask for his help. He's willing to forgive. The cross paid the price of our sin. He's willing to pick up the pieces and to work out everything for our good and for his glory. On this Mother's Day, let's thank God for our families, but let us all maintain and develop our relationship with God. Amen.